Welcome, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. I love meeting paradigm shifters. That is people that I talk to. I'm really lucky to be able to talk to them who are making a difference and getting in touch with the evolution of consciousness of humanity all around the planet. And one of my favorite guests is a woman named Linda Sherman, who's a political, economic, and normal astrologer, but always does enticing discussions with you as callers and with me. So here you are. Welcome to the show, Miss Linda.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Veronica.
I love it. I'm very excited about it. We already have a caller. Oh, my gosh. You must have attracted people. What we're going to talk about tonight, and Judy, if you can wait just a moment, what we're going to talk about tonight, Linda, is anything that you really want to. But I want people to know that, first of all, you have three books out there, which we'll get into off and on throughout the show. And also, you know a lot about what's going on politically and what's going on in the planet. So what can you give us a sort of a thumbnail, like what's going on in the planets right now? You know, we've gone through several, eclipses. We've gone through a number of those things. What's going on right now in like a 2 second?
Well, one of the things that, well, many of the things that astrologers are interested in and discuss are long-term cycles, intermediate and short-term cycles that the planetary pictures present to us. And what has been going on, we had three significant eclipses between July and August. A lunar eclipse, actually a solar eclipse, early in July opposite Pluto, a lunar eclipse conjunct Mars, and another solar eclipse in conjunct Pluto. And boy, these were tough ones. These were
well, remind
very,
people
very tough.
What exactly happens to us all when there's eclipses. Well, and what's the opportunity?
Well, a lot depends on each person's individual horoscope. Dependent on the date, time, and place of a person's birth that determines your own individual horoscope. So the magnitude of these eclipses is going to be more or less contingent on what is in your, whether these eclipses hit your chart. But I have found this summer has been very accident prone. People with lots of surgeries. Saturn in Capricorn right now. I'll give you an example. I'm a prime example because all three of these eclipses hit my chart. And I had, I had to have dental surgery. I had knee surgery on a torn meniscus and I was in a car crash. That thank God did not, nobody was hurt, but it totaled my car. And so it was not a pleasant summer for me. And in the process, I have had conversations with a lot of people who've been involved in accidents, surgeries, medical issues on a more personal level. On a grander scope level, the problems that we have been having, especially over the past decade, have become exaggerated and exasperated. The major polarization and conflict of the people in all over the world, and it's certainly in the United States. The hatred of political parties toward each other, nastiness and anger and frustration that is being thrown about. Many people just feel terribly depressed that their leaders are not helping, not only not helping anything, but they're in turmoil themselves. We are just all over the world. There's mass immigration from countries who are failed states. And much of this is climate change is behind it. The massive, massive issue of global climate change is such an elephant in the room. It's very hard for people to grasp until it happens to hit them directly, whether they're in the path of a hurricane or a typhoon or or whatever, and it just seems as if from failed states in the Middle East, in Central and South America, that mass immigration of people is occurring, and it's the saddest thing that we see on our TV, that these people fleeing from disaster and destruction. The war in Syria has just gone on and on and on. And people are really, we're in a very, very difficult time, primarily based on the Pluto-Uranus square that has taken place and whose ramifications are upon us. So, as I have said in a number of my books, we're really, in many ways, humanity is in the dark night of the soul, in which we're having to face our deepest problems, both psychologically and spiritually and emotionally. And my take on all of this, and I don't want to sound either like a Pollyanna, but I think we are having to face things in such a way as if you were in mass therapy, and you had to face your deepest, darkest fears and tendencies and lowest forms of destructive human behavior in order to evolve and move out of those forms of behavior. My feeling, or my last book, which was published a little less than a year ago, I wrote with a data analyst from Wall Street who does analysis of cycles in a similar, a different technique, but whose forecasts are similar to my own, and it's Our Choice, Extinction or Evolution. And we picked that title because we deeply feel that humanity is at that interface, that either we're going to go extinct and take most life down with us on Earth, or we're going to make an evolutionary leap into a higher level of consciousness, which consists of intelligent thinking, critical thinking, honest debate, community, caring, and basically loving the Earth, life on Earth, and one another. And we're going, this is not Pollyannish, this is not pie in the sky, this is going to be necessity. Because otherwise, those are the choices we have. And I don't think there are many gray areas. It's either extinction or evolution. And I feel that all these things on a short-term basis that hit us are things that if we can solve them and get past them, that we become stronger and more determined to do something important with our lives and positive with our lives, to hopefully get our children, our grandchildren, or in my case, a great-grandchildren, give them a better world. So this is my take on a short-term basis with some of the things that have been going on, and a more long-term basis.
Stephanie, you called in, and I appreciate that. Do you have a question for our friend Linda here?
Yes, I do. So I'm horribly addicted to all of this Brett Kavanaugh business. I'd actually been taking a news diet because I felt like I couldn't maintain. I don't know how to put it. I feel like reading, I want to know what's going on, but reading too much news puts my orientation towards everything that happens in kind of a weird space. I feel like all news at this point is meant to keep me reading, and I feel that somehow in between all of that news consumption, I can't really find a way to let all of this craziness just sort of wash through me and stay centered. And the Brett Kavanaugh thing, of course, has me furious. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to figure out if anger is the way through, if anger is the way forward, if it's counterproductive, if we're all just standing around and looking for someone to blame, not that he's not kind of deplorable, but I guess I'm trying to figure out is how as an individual I am committed to trying to maintain a certain amount of openness and use this time to evolve. I don't know. That's a really big question, is how to approach this time.
I like that, actually. And how do I, you used a good word, which is evolve. How do we evolve in the middle of it? When we have our, and Linda already mentioned, we have to deal with our own dark shadow. So I guess, Linda, I'll let you take it away, but I'm assuming you're saying we have to deal with what it brings up in us, right?
You know, I think that what she is saying is a very, very good question. A very sincere feeling about all this, and many people feel that way right now. And my take on this is I have made the choice to pay attention to these things and go ahead initially and have my anger about it, have my little tantrum, you might say, and then take a deep breath and get past this. I think that what is, I can only share with you about what I, how I am dealing with these things, because I believe that we have to face them. I don't believe we should ignore them or pretend they don't exist or escape from them. At the same time, we can't let ourselves just drown in emotion over this. So my feeling is once you have your feelings about it, you step aside. And one of the most important things to me in my life is my daily meditation. And when I do my daily meditation, I open myself up to something, a consciousness that we're all a part of that is greater than the human format which we temporarily are inhabiting, if that makes sense to you. And that when I open to that greater consciousness, and send white light out to people that are involved, whether it's somebody that I know personally who is going through crises and serious confrontations, or whether it's people in the political arena. And I know that after I have my meditation and send out the white light, I simply leave myself open to my own personal request that higher consciousness let me know what I can do at my level about this. Let me know what insight, let me be open to the insight from higher consciousness, and let me be a part of something positive and constructive in my own local arena, in my own way. And usually something happens from this in my life. And I certainly feel better about it. I do not take this to bed with me at night. I have found that, this meditation, once I give up problems that are so big and outside of my own little anthill, so to speak, realizing that these are part of greater forces, but that I as an individual do have a part to play in it. I just don't know what that part is frequently. So if I leave myself open to that, somebody calls me, walks in the door, emails me, something happens to bring me into it in a favorable way. That helps Stephanie in some way, because what she's going through is what so many people are going through right now.
Mm-hmm. And I kept getting knocked off the line, but I was asking basically something similar, which is, depending on my chart and depending on Stephanie's chart and other people's chart, the influences of the way the planetary structure is going and the teeming turbulence on the planet will have such a different effect for me as someone else. So someone might burst into kind of a spiritual alignment. Someone else might feel absolutely stifled and depressed, right?
Exactly true.
Yeah.
Exactly true. It a lot depends your horoscope, your astrological chart is a framework that within which you operate and within which you make a lot of choices how to use what you are gifted with within that framework, or what how to encounter the obstacles or frustrations that also come up for you. So different people have a tendency to have different reactions to possibly the same event. But then I think there's something fundamental in all of us in which there is a common response as well, a collective response to these things.
Well, I wonder about the astrology chart of a country And there's a collective response in that, isn't there?
Oh, yes. And I have to say that there are a number of major aspects to the chart of the United States of America that have been going on for a long time. The Pluto-Uranus square has aspected our cardinal planets. But we're also in a time when transiting Neptune is going over our progressed sun and has been squaring the ascendant and the descendant. And Neptune can be, when it's afflicted, a planet of great deception, confusion. It can be, you can be a victim of a lot of lies and falsehood and spin. I've written several newsletters about this on my online newsletter, soothsayer.com. And there's also a tendency to get caught in escapism or drug use, drug and alcohol abuse. And we have the worst opioid epidemic, the worst drug epidemic this country has ever seen. People are dying of overdoses.
Well, before we get into that, Linda, we have Andrea on line 5.
Okay.
Andrea, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Veronica, and hello, Linda. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Fellow astrologer.
yes, thank you. Thank you. I have a couple questions, I guess. One of them is, you know, I guess, what, I don't know, how should I say this, but it's been very tiring, I think, for a lot of people to listen to the news and what's going on, especially in this country. And do you see, in your own, like, ways, when is this going to slow down and when people can kind of just relax and go about their own lives? Do you see it anytime soon?
No.
Thanks.
I just have to call it as I see it. I think we have to choose to do that. I think we need to find our place of peace and rest and separation, because the turmoil and tumult of our world and what we're seeing on the news, one of the beefs I have with the more traditional network news stations is how they beat you endlessly over the head with every tabloid thing that comes along each day instead of just reporting the things that we need to know from around the world and interviewing people who are intelligent with critical thinking. I happen to like PBS News and NPR.
Yes.
I happen to like a show on CNN, Fareed Zakaria GPS, on Sundays. They show it twice on Sundays. There's certain, and 60 Minutes, which I think is great. I think there are certain news media outlets and shows that really give a thorough and honest assessment of news that is important from around the world, rather than just beating you up with the same old scandals, the same old criticisms. I know what you mean. After a while, you just want to turn the whole thing off, and maybe that's what we should do.
They go after sensationalism, don't they?
Yes, and
I
it's
feel
sensationalism.
Like,
remember that the media is mostly corporate-owned, and they're after
to
get your eyeballs. They're after to pull you in there and sell you on
something.
Well,
what has been... Well, you're right. What's been working for me is, like, I listen to the radio here in the Everett, 290.7 in the Everett area. It's wonderful. And also listening and reading is often better than visually seeing it. That's really right. And kind of on to what Stephanie, our previous caller, was saying, is that it can get pretty tiring. But for me, what helps is read instead of watch. You know, and then the other thing is too, I intuitively and also kind of from a point of like Chinese astrology, where this year is kind of breaking the inertia It's the year of the dog, and we're kind of breaking the inertia on what's been kind of accumulating over for years, because personally I feel like, especially with this Supreme Court nominee, or, you know, we've had chances before where we really didn't act on it as people, to, you know, go out there and be more active and proactive in our politics. Do you see that possibly this inertia will change and people will start taking more charge? Because right now I feel like it's still not happening quite. But do you
see that? There is a lot of demonstration going on. Ever since Trump was elected, the demonstrators have been out there by the hundreds of thousands at various times. I do feel that our country is getting revived this way. And these kids last year from the Florida shooting, they stood up and they said, "We're going to be voters soon. You are going to hear from us." I have very high hopes that especially the young people, but all people across the board, are going to make themselves heard. But the place you want to do the most is vote. You want to get involved in your local political arena if you can, because it's those people that get to Washington that determines what happens. They're the ones that make the laws or stop the progress or start the progress or whatever it is. And we can demonstrate all over. There's been a lot of demonstrating over the past 4 or 5 years, a lot of it. But much of it, although I have enormous respect for this, what is the bottom line here is who you vote for and how you get involved in your local political scenario and how you talk to other people within that scenario, so that we can make a change, a shift in the government.
Yeah. Is it revolutionary, Linda? Would you say?
It is revolutionary. I said in my first book that this time period would be the second American Revolution, and it might be worldwide. And it's an ongoing thing, because we're getting the end of 2019 going into 2020. There are a set of astrological patterns that are symbolizing that this economic system that everybody tells us is so great, that really isn't. It's what I call the trickle-up economy to the 1%. This is going to fail, basically. And we're going to collapse under a wall of debt. It's going to be a worldwide thing. It may even start in Europe and develop over here. We're going to have to face the music about completely revamping our notions and ideas of what an effective economy and real fair opportunity is going to be. We have automation is taking away our jobs on so many levels we can't even count them. Jeff Bezos just announced today that he's going to pay his workers now a minimum of $15 an hour. This is the richest man in the world, multi-billionaire, which is fine, but it's going to take a lot more than this. It's going to take some real intelligent, critical re-envisioning of how we can live on this planet reasonably comfortably without so many people going down the tubes. Because as we enter the age of Aquarius, which is coming up in the 2020s, as the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction occurs December of 2020, and then Pluto goes into Aquarius in 2024, we're going to have such advancement in technology, and there's going to be many changes, and I am highly, very, very hopeful that we will experience a collective consciousness change toward more humanitarianism, more doing, sharing of the wealth, sharing of opportunity, sharing of education and healthcare and these things. I think we're going to have a sea change that is coming upon us, but we're going things are going to hit the fan before that takes place, because that's usually how people do change, is when things reach a crisis point where they simply blow up, and then we say, aha, now we've got to do something. And I think we will.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Andrea.
Thank you.
Wow, this is Veronica Entwistle, and we're listening to our paradigm shifter, Linda Sherman. Linda Sherman is an astrologer, and she's pretty hot about politics and about economics and futurizing, aren't you, Linda?
I certainly am, because I feel that the bottom line so often is truly the bottom line, and that's economics. And if you don't fundamentally have an economic system that works, where people are not starving and fighting each other for what little scraps are left, people will grow. We may have a new renaissance when we get this figured out, but it's going to be very different than what we're seeing now.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there something in the stars which speaks of this? Is this kind of dictatorial leadership that is building all over the world? It's a lot of white supremacy stuff, and it's kind of scary conservative, not just conservative, but scary conservative, lots of dictator stuff. Does that show up in the planets? Does that show up in the way?
The answer to that, Veronica, is yes, because the Pluto-Uranus square that I've been talking about now for years prior to it was exactly here between 2011 and 2015. But the repercussions of that square, the revolutionary square, what happens under those squares is that there is usually some kind of series of populist revolution, but I don't even like that terminology.
Yeah, I was going to say, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean we get out there like Andrea was saying, people are waking up out of inertia? Is that part of it?
That's the good part of it. I mean, that's the positive part. The negative part are conspiracy theories, hatreds, racism, xenophobia, and the blame game. This reminds me of the rise of the Third Reich, the last time Pluto was squared to Uranus in the 1930s. The Great Depression, the rise of the Third Reich. When you say, remember that the Germans elected the Third Reich. They elected Hitler and his party. And he made them feel good by making them feel superior and put them on the defensive against everybody else. He used Jewish people as the stomping ground, anti-Semitism, to rally, hatred, blaming whatever went on with World War One, whatever went on with the Depression. You blame it on somebody instead of taking responsibility collectively ourselves for fixing things. You drum up hatred. This is the keynote of how dictators arise in a society, in a culture, is that they start getting you to blame others and hate others and rally around them. And before you know it, the guy you rallied around has taken over completely, demolished.
Well, that's happening
democracy.
Right now, honey. That is.
It's right. This is what's happening.
Well, let's take a call right in the middle of this. And we'll take a call. I'd like to get back to this as well. Kathy, welcome to the show.
I'm sorry that I missed the first part of the show. Judy reminded me and filled me in a little bit about what I have missed. But from what she's told me, our family has gone through a lot of the loss and illnesses and whatnot. From what I understand, since I missed the first part, of what you're speaking about. I especially have experienced a lot of messages due to a loss that I experienced in July. And the messages continue, and it's the same, it's we even had an episode yesterday that was beyond anything that I've ever experienced in my life. And
what kind of messages, Kathy?
I'm thinking that this is from the loss and experience, and it's dragonflies. Dragonflies. They are everywhere around us. This time of year, they should not be here. We experienced, my husband and I both experienced approximately 15, 20 dragonflies swarming around us yesterday in my backyard.
Wow.
And I'm in
Virginia,
so that's not something that should be happening. It's not something that would ever happen.
What do you think that means, Linda? Do you think that means that they are also disheveled just as humanity is?
You know, Veronica, you're probably better at interpreting this than I am because of the extraordinary ability that you have connected with other realms. But I do believe that when these things happen, they're kind of they're giving you a message. I agree with you. I think there is some kind of message but I'm not sure I would know what it is. I've had nature. I've seen things in nature around me and I didn't know what the message was. And then we were able to sell our house, or we were something solved the problem.
This sometimes to me, though,
it's kind of an omen. I mean, the native cultures have believed that these things are omens and messages from the gods, so to speak. And it may not be a negative for you.
No. For me, my loss, I was told by an intuitive that I would, a bird would come into my life. This loss was my beloved pet. She was very angelic. If I was sick, she would get sick. If Aww. I was emotional, she would get emotional. It was beyond a pet. There was more to her. She was an old soul. I need her back. In a newer, healthier body.
Was she a pet bird?
No, it was a dog.
A dog. Okay, you mentioned
she appeared in a dog's
about a bird.
And well, I'd had a reading, and that particular intuitive had said, when you see a bird, that means that Emma is coming back. That she'll have come back in a healthier way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at shelters. I'm looking everywhere. I'm going,
uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's got to smell like Emma. It's got to look like, you know, the eyes, not the body.
Mm-hmm.
But all summer, my husband and I have experienced this. And dragonflies in the strangest of places. We don't have a body of water around us. But yesterday, this swarming around us, and I don't know what the meaning of that is. And I don't know if this is the correct format for that. I don't know if I lost her in July, July 17th.
The book open here, and it says it's the essence of the winds of change, messages of wisdom and enlightenment, and the communications from the elemental world. And it's also called illusion. Says always to seek out the parts of your habit you need to change, but also give thanks to food you have. Don't take anything for granted. It's time to break down illusions you've held and restrict you. It seems like the need for change, I would just say the need for change is really amping up. But also it reminds me of what Linda was saying, which is the way the planetary structures are, we're being pushed, we're being corralled, and we're going to have to make big changes. Would you agree with that, Linda?
I certainly would. And I would thank the universe for sending these dragonflies to you to let you know that you are going through a process like this. That just the loss of your beloved pet, and believe me, my heart goes out to you. My husband and I almost worship our pets.
Oh, I know. But we've had so many pets, and this was different.
That
she was
have
so
souls that you connect with. As mm-hmm. They're beings that often that you connect with on such a deep, soulful level. And maybe this is saying to you that the grief, the loss of this is also a way of freeing you from something. That as deep a grief as you may have for this, the loss of this pet, that you've got to move on. That your life isn't over and your love mm-hmm. isn't over. And what you have to give isn't over. It just needs to move on.
Well, also there's another thing, which is the changes we go through. The state of grief move you into the world as a slightly different person, if not a very different person. I think that's maybe relevant as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think
well, I didn't know if astrologically speaking, if the numbers and the timing of her loss and the timing of this played a role. I have searched for answers through this very difficult year with illness in my husband, difficulties with my adult son, just so many difficulties have been there, and I'm just trying to make sense of it.
Well, probably it does show, probably shows up in your astrological chart that these eclipses may have hit your chart. Certain planetary pictures appear that create stresses, instabilities, not in the core self, but in the sort of format that you're living in. And we go through these times. As an astrologer, I deal with this all the time. We go through these cycles where it seems like it's not one thing, two things, but it's three.
Another,
Until the cycle itself is through, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is, but I am of the belief and have been since I became an astrologer that all of this is for the evolution of our souls. But that doesn't mean you don't suffer when you go through them. You know, your chart may have gotten hit as my chart got hit this summer. Well, I called this the summer from hell.
All right. Yeah.
I said, am I funny?
But I'm almost afraid to say that because I don't know what to expect next summer.
It was. But my friends around me
were all
having
on that
accidents
one.
And surgeries and hospitalizations and losses of parents.
We've lost, and we've lost three pets this summer, and just it's bam, bam, bam. And my friends have gone through such turmoil in their lives. Everyone I know, I don't think anyone that I know has had a very positive year.
Mm-hmm. No,
they could have had a worse year.
Very tough year. It has been a very, very tough year. There's no doubt about it. And many, many people have been affected by this. These mm-hmm. eclipses are powerful, but they all three of these summer eclipses were connected with outer ring planets. What we call a malefic way, and there's just no two ways about it. And Dick, my husband and I just said this evening, I think we're through this.
Oh God!
We got both of our cars back intact after spending a lot of money, you know. And I said, and I am trying to recover from the accident that I had. I'm feeling much better, but and then the surgery and the this and the that and the other, it has been really, and I predicted all of these things. Dick said, you'll do anything to make your predictions come true.
I would say this to Kathy also, and also to you, Linda, that you are going into a time of change and things will feel and look very different for you. You know, I think you're going to be quite pleased with that for a little while anyway, even though the restrictions seem to be coming on a larger level, like for the country or for the world or whatever. Does that make sense?
Well, thank you, Veronica. And I say this to everybody that, and it's been my experience that whatever we go through takes us to the next level in our wisdom and our understanding. The loss of this lovely lady's pets that she loves so dearly, it's a loss and it's a suffering. But when you get past it, you are a different person. There's a kind of wisdom. There's a kind of peacefulness that comes to you once you go through that process of getting to the other side of it.
Excellent. Thanks for that. Thank you for calling in, Kathy. And bless your
heart. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's very interesting, people going through things, and to remember always, ultimately, this is good for me. It's pretty hard to do that sometimes, isn't it?
It's pretty hard when you're in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. You just have to take each day as it comes and crawl through it, you know, and get through to the other side. But when you do get past it, there is something there that is important in our, it's an opportunity to evolve and develop. And if you're open to it, it will happen for you.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes retrospectives before we can figure it all out, eh?
Yeah. Sometimes if we try to rationalize it and get too much in our head, I think it obstructs it. I think we have to operate from our heart and our soul and allow ourselves to be. I always think of, you know, crossing the river Styx to the other side. There's a tarot card, the Six of Swords, in which you see a family on a boat sort of peacefully crossing over to the other side, and the meaning is healing. Right. Sometimes there's a trip involved, but it's a journey into a healing process. Mm. And I feel that image is something we can use today to take that journey into healing.
I like that very much. Thank you for that. Now, I have another interesting question. I think it's interesting. You might go, well, this is not that interesting, but I keep seeing in the universes, there are so many huge changes. And you know how in the East Indian lore, religious background, they talk about the different yugas, you know, these huge waves of consciousness that take like 600,000 years to move through and so on. Do you, as an astrologer, see any of those kinds of references? And specifically, what I'm considering is the Oneness Blessings talk about these golden spirals that are way out there, that we're in them right now as a galaxy, and that's going to give us some different potential, give humans different potential. I'll just leave it at that. What do you think of that kind of analysis?
Well, I'm not a Vedic astrologer, but they have a lot to offer. It's a different kind of astrology, although in some ways it says the same things that Western astrology says in a different way. But I do believe, we're at the very tail end of a 2100-year age of Pisces and entering the age of Aquarius. So that is a great, we're also at the end of a 26,000-year cycle and a 12,000-year cycle. There are gigantic cycles, and those big cycles have always been accompanied by massive climate changes, volcanoes erupting, earthquakes that we're seeing all the time. Every time we turn on the news, it seems like there's another. They're often on Earth accompanied by those things, but they're all
don't
about
turn on the news.
Yeah, they're about changes.
Good point. Don't turn on the news.
Yeah.
But they're about changes in consciousness that when we come collectively, just as you and I go through our losses and griefs and things in our lives, and then we take a step out of that and move forward, and our lives take on a whole different meaning. So it's true collectively of humanity that those of us who survive, and get over to the other side, we see everything differently. And I agree, Veronica. I think that there's an enlightenment that can lie ahead of us. That there are, the universe is giving us something. In the process of taking something, where one thing dies, it is taken away, another thing is gifted to us from on high. Mm-hmm. And I believe that those gifts are available. We just have to choose to see them. We have to make the choice.
But we're in the crucible at this point, right? Where we have to choose from that intent.
Mm-hmm. We're in the Kali Yuga. You know, you talked about the yugas. We're at the end of the Kali Yuga, basically, in Hindu astrology, mm-hmm. which is about the bottom of the barrel. Behavior.
Well,
and Kali, of course, is the goddess of death and rebirth.
Right.
And where there is dying, there's also birthing. And I really do feel that that's the juncture that we are in at this point. And that those of us who are alive today and involved in all of this, I think we just need to open ourselves out on that boat across the river to the other side of healing, light, and love.
So it's like dropping the tensions against it and the fear against it and moving through it. It's like moving through it. Is that it? That's how we make our choice.
I think that's a beautiful way of putting it, Veronica. I don't believe in walking away, ignoring it, or trying to escape from it. We have to confront these things. But how do we confront them? Once we recognize them, how do we take a deep breath and courageously walk into the light here of truth and beauty and understanding and wisdom? Because I really feel that that's the juncture where we are. And yes, these painful things are going on. These losses are taking place. But there's something beyond all of that.
Well, you know, something else that's happening is I notice, talking about animals, I notice more animals are kind of communicating. You know, people are really communicating more with animals than I remember them. They didn't used to do that so much. There's a lot
we don't
more
like
light coming up in them, you know? I just wondered if that wasn't a part of it all.
I do believe that's a part of it all. And I think the only commercials I want to see on television are when the dogs are driving the car.
Oh, let me interrupt. Judy is trying. She's called in twice.
Okay.
And she was the very first caller, but she says she hasn't gotten through. She messaged me. I'm sorry, ladies, to interrupt.
Okay.
But she's waiting.
Does she have a question? Does she have a question for Linda?
Yes, she does.
But if you could
okay.
ask her a question of Linda before we run out of time, I'd love to answer it.
No.
Her name is Judy.
I was feeling left out.
Oh, Judy. You're here.
I know. I was going to go crawl in the bathtub and cry.
How much did you learn in that agonizing experience now?
Yeah, not again, right? actually, Linda, this is a really enlightening show. Thank you. The question that I have is, you said in the beginning that there's been all this turmoil, the ups and downs and earth changes, political changes, blah, blah, blah. No need to reiterate all that. I've noticed, and I think Veronica has as well, we all have, that the way our businesses and our lives, I own my own business, and as does Kathy, it's been so up and down, and I have found every time these, you know, yahoos in our political realm get on their little podiums and shout out that life is terrible,
yahoo, right.
You know, we all buy into it, and it's frustrating. Can you tell me, do you see an end to this, like, cycle, and some end to it, where there'll be a little bit more prosperity, a little bit more consistency, in our world. And I get the whole, we're all in turmoil and, you know, life has been difficult. I get that. And definitely this has been a very karmic, I'd say 4 or 5 years for myself. And, I'm sure for a million other people. Anyway, cutting that short, do you see an end to this cycle? And if we can personalize that, do you see that for myself? And I know time is limited. My birth date is August 2nd, 61, and I was born at 8:24 a.m. So what do you see?
Okay, you're a Leo. August
I'm
2nd.
A Leo.
So that you were
so
right
Linda.
Between those two eclipses here, but you didn't get hit by them, which is good.
Well,
she thinks she did.
Like it.
Okay. Well, basically, I'd have to, you know, run your chart off on my computer.
Sure.
But I want to say there's two things I want to say in response. I feel in the 2020, as we go into this new age, there's going to be so many new breakthroughs in technology, in medicine, in everything. We're going to have nuclear fusion. It's going to be the end of the age of fossil fuels.
Thank you, God.
There are going to be phenomenal things happening, and I also think that humanity collectively has a chance to make a consciousness change, as I had said earlier, to a more humanitarian, more egalitarian society in which economics is not just for a handful of people at the top. There's going to be many collective changes and collective. For each one of us individually, I think Veronica and I were having a conversation earlier this evening about this. I think each day we have to make a decision that we're going to open ourselves up to new information in a new way. That we can't expect the exterior world to come in and make it peaceful for us. We have to decide to be peaceful ourselves. I have to make that decision every day. In fact, some days every hour on the hour.
I think that's right. Making the decision, for example, of all this polarization, is a lot of people are trying to learn to experience both sides and enough to understand or have empathy. And I think that's part of it all, too, isn't it, Linda?
It is. There's this tendency to, you know, we just cannot believe what some people are thinking and doing, and the way they're talking to each other is like civilized discourse is finished or something. You know, we see all of this on the news. We see all of this going on around us. But in our own private individual lives, in your private business, which you run, with your family and your friends, I think each day we have to make a decision how we're going to be with this from within ourselves. And when we make that decision to take that deep breath and open up to something, I find that the whatever you want to call it, the resonance around us changes. The song that we're singing changes its tune. Even the people around us change the way they're speaking to us or interactive with us. I think that that's the challenge of the times that we live in. It's not something that's going to walk in our door and make it right for us. We have to make it right for ourselves. And it starts with that kind of decision making. And believe me, I'm not talking pie in the sky. I have to do this myself every day.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a day that goes by that I do not have my meditation and my decisions. And I find myself going off the rails and getting angry and upset and starting to rant about Washington and the crazy.
Oh, you're the only one who does.
And I, you know, and I say,
oh, you're not alone, Linda.
I go into.
I'm building my wall around my house.
Yes.
Right.
And you know, I said, look, I cannot drink this Kool-Aid. I am not going to drink the Kool-Aid today.
You know, and a lot of people don't know what that means either.
That's really something.
Well, I think
unfortunately, we are out of time. But I want to add this. You'll appreciate it. Next week on Paradigm Shifters, we're going to be discussing emotional IQ. What do you think of that? Ooh. Emotional intelligence and how that's beginning to move through our species.
I think
mine's
around zero right now.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I want Emma.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What now? What is the emotional IQ?
That's going to be on next Paradigm Shifters next Tuesday. And remember, this discussion with Linda is going to be podcasted. It might take us a week to get it out into the podcast, but you can tune in and listen to it at your heart's rate.
Miss the first part.
Pardon?
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much for calling in, Kathy and Judy. And you, Linda, I want people at home to know how to get hold of you, Soothsayer with an E, soothsayer.com. And also, your books are Fast Forward, What Next, and Extinction. What is it?
Extinction or Evolution.
Yeah, which you wrote with Richard Spitzer?
Spitzer, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really recommend these books because it'll give people some incredible points of view about how you see things flowing and how you see them coming up. Wonderful material. So thank you so much for Linda Sherman to come on to the show again with me. I love it when you do.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
Take care and we'll talk soon. All right. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you very much for tuning in to Paradigm Shifters. That probably means you're a paradigm shifter too. We're all making a change on the planet. Good night, many, many blessings, and much love to all of you.